Dear Lord, thank you that we have the chance to be able to talk about your word. Thank you that you delight to be known. And as we think about it and talk about it, may you open our hearts to become more like Jesus, who, of course, is the example of how to be fully human. Amen.
Amen.
Now, amen. I think when people watch this video, they'll be able to be looking at it and seeing two very similar names on the bottom of the screen. Because yes. I, of course, am Matt Brain, and I'm Matt, whether you know me or not. And the person two beside me is Peter Brain, and my dad. So, Dad, it's great to have you with us today at Holy Trinity. We're still in the situation where we can only have 20 people face to face in church, which makes it a bit difficult for Holy Trinity to gather the whole mob. They'd need about 15 services, so that's a bit hard on a Sunday.
Good problem to have, but sad, yes.
Yeah, good problem to have, but sad. Now, Dad, you taught me many different things, from how to place kick a rugby ball to how to bowl leg and off spin. And I've never managed to beat you in tennis, so either you didn't teach me very well or you're just much better than me. But you also taught me a whole lot of other much more important stuff. And I can vividly remember one bit of advice that you gave me when I was a teenager. I can't remember the exact year, but I can remember as a teenager you saying, and this is almost a direct quote, it had that sort of impact on me, Matt, every Christian needs three people in their life. Someone who's older than them, who's been there before, who can encourage you to grow and to take up everything that God has for you in life. They need someone beside them about their age who is going through it together, who can be like a spur and the encouragement for the here and now, going through the same things to be able to share and grow with them. And someone younger, someone who you can take an interest in and be the encourager for. We tend to be good at the side-by-side ones, don't we? The peers, we naturally gravitate to them. But the idea of having someone up and someone down was something that I took to heart. Why so many people, though? Isn't one enough?
Isn't one enough? Yeah, I think sometimes you might think it is, but no, not really. Look, we're saved individually, personally, but everybody's got to come to God for themselves through the Lord Jesus. But then we quickly learn that we're saved into a family and into a team, which is not the word used in the scriptures, but the body of Christ, the church. And it seems to me that that gives us opportunity of being nurtured and helped. And it seems to me it's a little bit like the more the merrier, because the team that God brings us into is really multiracial, multinational, and male and female. And so it's an extraordinary team, and younger and older, of course.
Yeah.
And there's very few groups like the church, and it strikes me, in my own experience, is that that's the way we learn. God lumps us together, if you like, into this wide family, into this team, and therefore, the more people there are, the more opportunities there are for us to learn ourselves, and indeed the learning comes as we seek to, the popular phrase is, reach out to others, get involved with others. It occurs to me, for example, Genesis 2:18, it's not good for man to be alone. Its initial fulfillment referred to marriage, but it refers far wider than that, which of course is one of the reasons why single people are real people, because not just marriage, but there's a whole range of other friendships that we can have. So Moses had Aaron, Joshua had Caleb.
Mm.
David had Jonathan. St. Mm. Paul had Barnabas.
Yeah.
And so all of those give us terrific opportunities. So
now, Dad, I can remember so many. One of the joys for me being a church baby is having all these older people in my life. So I've got bucket loads of people who I've been privileged to have taken an interest in me. Who was an older person, someone who was ahead of you, who was important for you, and what did they do? What was one or two things that they actually did that was encouraging for you?
Yeah. Well, there were many. I've chosen just two. One major was Bill Osling, our rector, in the 60s. I became a Christian in October 1964, so probably exactly around about the time, I don't have a date. And Bill Osling and his wife were just wonderful mentors. There are two things I learned from Bill. One, that there was never any doubt in my mind, even before I became a Christian. I sat in evening prayer for about the best part of 5 years before I became a Christian. But I never doubted the fact that the Bible was both true and relevant, because I saw what it was for him. Mm. I knew he wasn't perfect, but he was moving in the right direction all the time.
Mm.
And so it never occurred to me that the scriptures would be anything other than what they claimed to be. But secondly, I also knew what Christian love looked like, because, and it wasn't just me, there were heaps of us around. We were welcome, for example, in their house after the evening service for scones and singing.
Mm.
But individually, you know, he'd ring up, he'd tap me on the shoulder to do things. So that was one, Bill and Gwen Osling. And another one was a builder.
Mm-hmm.
I was part of a branch church at Castle Cove, and I was asked to teach Sunday school, and I'd never done that. But Alan Larson, who was a builder, and his wife Pam, who I think had been a school teacher herself, they would have me around to their place on a Saturday afternoon just to go through the lessons and to think about how I might be able to approach it. That was just that kind of warmth and the modelling.
Mm.
And the concern. And so when I became a Christian, I'd already been confirmed, sadly, when I was 14. But Sir Bill Osling said, look, I'll just give you an opportunity at the evening service. I'll interview you and you can tell people what's happened to you, how you became a believer. And so little things like that. And then Mrs. Osling, it was who coached me to read the Bible in that service a few months later, and got me to come early, read the Bible aloud, because it's different to reading it, you know, by yourself. And so those things. It was the modelling. And I guess,
So it was both who they were, but also what they did. And I could hear as well that the chance to have a go was important for you. And they both couples gave you that chance. Modeling.
And I guess it reminds me, one of my favourite texts has always been that one in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8. After saying he was like a mother who cared for the children, Paul says that we gave ourselves, we gave not only the gospel, but we gave our very selves. Let me get it right. We loved you so much, but we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well.
Well, how about then a great peer relationship? Now, the peer relationships are funny, aren't they? Because as we age and grow, so does our peer relationships. But can you think of one or two peer relationships that you think, wow, that was great? And what was it that made them great?
Yeah. Well, one of them was a fellow called Derek, who was the youth group leader in the branch church. And he'd write the Bible studies for youth group. And every other Sunday we'd meet in his place, myself and a lady or girl called Helen Sawkins, who led the groups. And Derek was really I suppose in today's terms, disciples.
Mm.
So that was one there. Then at Theological College, there were two fellows, Jack Norman, who was a Victorian. We made friends virtually the first day, and then another fellow from Wollongong, Dennis. They were good mates who we could just bounce ideas off and encourage each other. One time especially, I got a bit discouraged during Theological College, but they encouraged me very quickly back into steam. But then when we came over here to Perth in 1980, so what was I, 33, then?
Oh, so young.
Yeah. And two fellas, you'll know who they are, Errol Waldron.
Mm.
Errol Hurtle, John Waldron, mm-hmm. James Waldron, and Rob Ryan.
Yeah.
Errol was a middle management telecom when they had such people. Yeah. And Rob was a Hills Telefix TV technician.
Yeah.
And Errol's about my age, perhaps a year younger. Rob's probably a decade older. They were just terrific people to encourage. They encouraged me to get on and do the job that I was called to do. They encouraged me practically. Every Saturday morning, we met for an hour and a half down at the church, which was a few k's away from our house. On one of the Saturdays, we would clean the grounds up, make it look presentable, and pray.
Mm.
And the other Saturday, we just spent our time praying.
Mm.
And so they were both practical and prayerful men. And they were always there.
So reliable. Yeah.
And absolutely reliable. And whenever I went to visit people, people would often say, oh, Errol's been to see us. Or
yep.
Rob's been to see us. So they were practical, pastoral, and prayerful.
Yeah.
Who could want for anything better than
that? Better than that.
So there's been lots, but now I still keep in touch with one of them. And I see the other, you know, not that often, but yeah.
So that's been an enduring friendship then as well.
It's blossomed into that, as have the other ones. You know, the blokes at college, I still keep in touch with them.
There's an added benefit is I'm friends with all their kids. So it sort of fed into a passing down of friendship as well.
That's right. That's
so,
right.
So if I'm hearing you right, that if there was a reliability in them being with you, there was a practicality. It wasn't sort of highfalutin stuff. There was a practicality, but there was also, because you were mucking in together, and there was a, well, to use the Eugene Peterson term, obedience on a long
obedience in the same direction.
Same direction. That if something, because there was that shared sense of that together, you just grew strong.
Yeah.
Is there a spiritual principle or a verse that came to mind as you were thinking about this for those peer relationships?
Yeah, look, I think something like, you know, you see this often in St. Paul's letters where he thanks God, where he thanks God. And so the one in Philippians, he says, Philippians 1, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion under the day of Jesus Christ. And I think for me is this sense of partnership, that fellowship is much more than the cup of tea. A cup of tea is pretty essential for what can flow out of it.
Yeah.
And there's
so it's the beginning. It's the beginning, not the end.
The beginning and not the be-all and end-all.
Yeah.
That's right. The means, the starter of it. And that's what I think is just wonderful. And so, see, the partnership between us flows out of a partnership between God and us.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of a relay.
Yes.
A relay which is passed on by God to us when we become believers. And then it's worked out by us within the fellowship of a local church or wider parachurch opportunities for service, but usually starts and is nurtured best in the local church. And so it's a partnership with God. And therefore, we ought to be thankful to God. I find that if I'm not thankful, I forget. But when I'm thankful, I'm less likely to, you know, to think, oh, I don't have many friends, for example. And then suddenly I realise, no, I've got friends, and some of them are only as close as a telephone or an email or something like that, and others I can go and visit over here. So, yeah, I think there are spin-offs in every direction for us.
We can go for a walk here. I think walking's something that we... It's a great activity, isn't it? It gives you something to do, but it's sedate enough to be able to talk as well.
Exactly. Yeah. You can't do that jogging, but you can do it.
Walking.
Do it. Yeah, that's right.
Well, it's one of the reasons I love riding a bike. It's side by side. I don't have to look at people in the eye, but you can have a conversation while you're going.
Well, enjoy it while you're young, because you probably won't better do that when you're older. You'll need to be walking.
E-bikes, electric bikes, they're the transition. Yeah. Once I can't keep up, I'll buy one with a battery.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, how about younger people? So that was actually quite pivotal to me, and Dad, one of the things you did wonderfully for me is give me a go at hearing you talk. You did what Bill Osling did for you. You gave me a go so often to be able to encourage, and that was the word you'd use, younger people. Can you think of a younger person who you've had the chance to be able to encourage? Now, like me, your purple shirt's covered underneath the jumper, but you've had the opportunity of working as an encourager of many through as being a bishop. So can you perhaps just think of one or two who you've had the chance to encourage?
There's one young man over here is not Anglican. I just happened to be preaching in a different denomination for the best part of a year, every other week.
Yeah.
Built relationships with him, and then he needed encouragement after a while, and still does. But he's engaged in ministry for himself now, and that was a great joy, and I think that's helped him, and through him others.
What did you do with him that to encourage him? What was one or two things that you were the vehicle to the encouragement?
I think doing what I always did.
Yeah.
So when I was preaching, I would preach the way I'd always preached. In the church that he was found himself the pastor of, through sad circumstances. And so I did that. I spoke to him.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, just talk to him about, you know, he'd ask me what did I reckon we ought to preach on, stuff like that. Sometimes he accepted, other times he didn't. That was all right.
Yeah.
So I think it was modelling.
So you were actually able, you were happy having spoken to him. If he then took it on board and then decided to do something different, that was actually okay with you?
Oh, yeah. Because he knew the local context far better than I did. I just made suggestions, and I was happy to fit in, you know, with what he did. It was a real joy for me. I think it was helpful for him. But look, I think every one of us has opportunity to encourage younger people. I mean, there's the family, of course. Mm. And I have four children, of which you're one.
Yeah.
And that was an obvious area. Frankly, if I wasn't an encourager there, I might as well not even try outside.
Yeah, yeah.
God providentially, that is, through his choice and will, puts us into churches, and suddenly you find young people, you might be 70, and you suddenly discover you're entering into a conversation most weeks with one of the young men, for example.
Well, can I remind you of the two best youth ministers you had in all the churches I grew up in?
I've got them written down. Go on, you tell us about them.
Betty and Elaine.
Betty and Elaine
were at St. Peter's Wanneroo for donkey's years. They were old when we turned up, and we turned up when I was 12. And every week, either Betty or Elaine, so they tag teamed. They didn't do it every week, but between the two of them, they did. And they did two things. They asked me how I was going and what was happening at school, and because I was a mad keen runner at that time, they'd think of something. Neither of them was the slightest bit interested in running, but they'd ask me. So they showed an interest in me, and then they'd say something helpful about being a Christian. It wasn't highfalutin. No. It was, yeah,
every week. They didn't just do it for you, they did it for Jonathan.
Yeah.
And I can't tell if they did it for any of the other young guys.
Oh, if they did it for us, they probably did it for others. Yeah.
It wouldn't have surprised me if they did, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in stark contrast to somebody who'd been a very famous sportsman.
Mm.
But after 1 week in church, we didn't see him for 8 or 9. So that was a useless example because, you know, you've got to be there every week to make it happen. And so that was really wonderful. Yeah, so that's what I mean by a providential, kind of relationship. Yeah. Now, it's important that we don't foist ourselves, you know, on the young people, but it's equally important that we make the effort to talk. I think it's right to say that the older one ought to take the initiative because we are older and the young ones, although we, when a bit older, might think they're a little bit brash or confident or whatever, but reality is they're shy.
Mm.
And
I would never have sought them out.
No.
Betting it or late. Yeah.
But they sought you, which is exactly what Christ did. I mean, he sought us. Christ came into the world to save sinners. He didn't wait for us. We wouldn't be having this conversation.
If we'd never come. Yeah, yeah.
They took the initiative. And as you say, it wasn't rocket science. It was just a natural conversation. How you go? Everybody likes to be remembered. Everybody likes to be asked how they're going. Everybody likes to be noticed.
Something that Betty and Elaine would never have known, it just struck me. They would never have known that at school, all my peers hated me talking about athletics. So to have someone ask me about how I was going with my running they wouldn't have known that. The fact that they remembered was so much more important than they would ever know.
And a real mark of God's kindness because he set that up, you see.
That's right, providential. Yeah,
that's exactly right.
Now, as we were talking earlier, you mentioned a really important principle. I think that's probably you've hedged around it a little bit now, and that is who do you expect gets the benefit out of these relationships? So what's the driving force when we think about reaching out to another person, whether it's older, the same age or younger, but it's particularly important with younger folk. Yeah. Who's the primary one in the picture?
Well, the primary one in the picture is the Lord Jesus, who we're seeking to emulate.
Mm.
But the primary person is the person, the other person.
Mm.
That's always the principle. One of our great dangers as believers, especially in our individualistic societies, we think we're the most important person.
Yeah.
And it's only too easy, even in Christian circles, to seek out other people because it will benefit us. And that's why one of the great dangers in our fellowship is we just seek out the people we like, or the people who like us, rather than the people that God providentially puts us with.
Yeah.
So in the same pew on Sunday morning may well be somebody when you're talking to them, you see a bit of a tear in their eye. And you learn that somebody they love is either deserted Christ, that's the worst thing, or become chronically ill, or their marriage is folded or something like that. Now, you got a choice when that happens, to forget about the other friends who you look forward to chatting with, or you say, look, would you like to talk? Or you might first ask, is there something wrong? And then if they say, yes, there is, would you like to talk about it? I'll go and get the coffee, you stay here. And you forsake all the others for their sake because they are more important than you. So the other thing that's important, especially today, I think, is that in seeking to encourage younger people, it seems to me that the model, that the progression is we ought to pray for everyone. So, for example, you know, the way we do it in the Anglican Church, when we have communion, people go up and back. I reckon that's a wonderful time to be praying for others who go up and come back after you've taking communion after you're waiting, especially in a bigger church. You've got plenty of time to do that. And you pray for a lot of them. And then once again, there may be some who, you know, because of their parents, et cetera, whom you ought to just, you know, be kind to.
And we're talking younger people, particularly here now.
Younger people. And then you pray that if there's one or two that God wants you to be especially encouraging to, that'll be made very clear to you. Now, I think the principle, of course, is always man, man, girl, girl. Mm. We must be aware of that. One of the great things, though, about I've been to Holy Trinity and you've got plenty of room, is that often the conversations happen over the cup of coffee. You can have deep and meaningful with people, and they can be opposite sex ones, because you're in the common area, everybody's there, and nobody can ever accuse you of doing anything. But your aim is always to help that person see Christ in and through you, but even more importantly, to want to learn about Christ from the scriptures as you have. There's a great little quote that I came across many years ago, almost 40 years ago now, by a man called Lewis McBurney, who said that our role as fellow believers, and this is true for younger people and people of all ages, is that God gives us the great privilege of being temporary assistants to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
In other words, our goal is not to just gather a little group of people that we feel good about gathering, that we feel good to be around, or even worse, that we feel good because others will think, aren't we good in ministering to us? So we're assistants of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's role is always to bring us to Jesus, to help us to grow more like Jesus. So our role is to help those people learn about how to live for Jesus, what he means. If they've got issues, to be able to talk them through. Now, there'll be some issues where if deeper issues, perhaps of a sexual nature, come up, then we've obviously got to refer them on to somebody else, especially same gender, who will be able to help them in a godly kind of way. So, yeah, I think it's important, to just recognize.
There's a couple of practical things, aren't there? It's surprising the quality of conversation you can have actually in a public place, and that idea of not hiving someone off so that isolated. Then starts to skirt with fulfilling our needs rather than theirs. Have it in places, discussions or conversations in places where others can see and. There's the safety for them, safety for you, and that sense of, am I helping them grow, or am I going to leave a trail of wreckage behind by this interaction?
That's right. I think the other thing is that for us to never lose sight of how valuable our words are. Mm. Our words are our stock in trade. God speaks to us in words, in scripturated words, and through each other, and then we speak to him in words and prayer.
Yeah.
And so there's that wonderful verse, Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death, and we are built up by them.
It strikes me, as we've been talking, that maybe an image to leave is a really opulent thing to do, but God makes an opulent family, an opulent body, an opulent world. You remember seeing, I don't know, I've never seen one in person, but I've seen pictures of it, of those towers of champagne glasses, and then someone at the top pours, and you see it cascading down. As you've been talking, as we've been discussing this, it's reminded me of that God pours in the great stuff, Jesus through the Spirit, and as we relate with people, one up, one down and those around us.
Yeah.
The challenge is, how is the good stuff of God cascading out of each of our lives to fill others up, whether we're filled from those above or participate with those beside or fill those who are coming behind. We didn't rehearse this, but I suspect you can probably rustle up a prayer. Can you pray?
Sure. Yeah. Loving Father, we thank you for the great reminder of the way in which you bring us together to be part of each other's lives, but above all, to bring you into each other's lives. And we pray, Lord, that for each of us who have heard this today, that you will help us to be encouragers at every level of our lives, knowing that this is the way that you have built us, the way and what you have called us to. Watch over Holy Trinity Church and continue to bless it richly as people seek to give themselves for one another as you did for us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.